During the past weeks, we have been speaking about the names of God, and we closed last week with the names of the Holy Spirit. This morning, we want to look at a new area altogether that God has placed in my heart. And it's in the area of prophets and prophecies. We've seen, especially in the prophetic revival that God has brought and that is still going on, that sometimes there is a necessity to qualify on many areas of prophecies and draw lines and boundaries for the function of prophets and prophecies. And we've seen many times that the use of the name or the name of God and saying the Lord said this, the Lord said that, and thus says the Lord. And I pray that through this series we will learn to reverence God's name when we use it, and not to simply say the Lord said when the Lord didn't say, not to simply say thus says the Lord when the Lord did not say anything. And we want to see the seriousness of being a mouthpiece for God, that we may learn how to flow along with what God wants to do in a prophetic move. Let's go to God in prayer as we consider this new subject. Father, we ask that you will quicken our understanding to your word. We pray, O God, as we consider your word in the area of prophets and prophecies, you give us principles and fine-tuning so that, Lord, we could truly see the prophetic move in its purity. And we ask, O God, that you establish your word and you establish your purposes in our life and grant the spirit of prophecy to come upon your people in a strong and a mighty way. And we promise, O God, that in all that you do, we give you the glory, the praise, and the worship. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we want to start off with where we have taught so far in that subject. If you remember on some areas of teaching on prophets and the gift of prophecy, we speak about listening to the voice of God and how we need to discern between I perceive and thus says the Lord. And we're going to go further than that, but as we look at the Lord speaking, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And it says here in verse 29 onwards, right on to verse 32. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Now there are some principles here that I just share out. We won't be sharing on them in this time, but throughout this series. Number one, we see here in verse 29 that there is an order in prophecy and in prophets functioning. It says, let two or three prophets speak and then let the others judge. So there is an order of prophesying. Number two, all prophets and prophecies have to be judged. That's in verse 29. Number three, in verse 30, a prophet also must learn how to keep silent. There are times when you prophesy halfway and the anointing leaves, you immediately stop, even if it's half a sentence. It's important, because Jesus knew how to do that in Luke in chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. He read from the book of Isaiah and he stopped at a point which is half a sentence, right at the end, and preached the acceptable year of the Lord. And there's no full stop there in the Isaiah 61. He continues, but he stopped right there. So we need to learn how to keep silent. And then we see here in number 4, in verse 31, that there is a learning area of prophesying. Doesn't mean that if we heard from the Lord, that we carry complete authority. There's an area of learning. Then, lastly, that a prophet is in control of the prophecy and not the prophecy in control of the prophet. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. No matter what goes on in your spirit, it's subject to you. Well, we are not teaching in the area, but these are some areas that are there that we will cover from time to time in this series. And as we look at this area, let's look also at the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 21, verse 11. When he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Spirit." We need to differentiate between "thus saith the Holy Spirit" and in the book of Acts, chapter 27, verse 10. Paul said, "Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives." Now, we have come to that stage before in our former teaching to say that we need to differentiate between "I perceive," or "we perceive what the Lord said," and saying, "Thus says the Lord." Paul knew by the Spirit, of course it was the Spirit who tells him this. He knew by the Spirit what was going to happen. But he did not say, "Thus says the Lord." Most people in Acts 27 with the same revelation would have put a "Thus says the Lord." There is a difference, and we need to make it very clear. For there are too many lives destroyed by people saying, "Thus says the Lord." Sometimes, you know, we come across people coming and saying, "The Lord said this to me. The Lord told me to do this." But when I look at a person, I know it was a spirit, their human spirit, and not the Lord. Now, the human spirit can lead our lives, but don't put the Lord's name there. It's dangerous. How dangerous is it? Let me show you from the Word of God in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 18. We need to respect the Lord enough not to use His name in vain. Deuteronomy chapter 18. We need to develop a reverence and a respect for God. It says here, regarding prophets and prophecies, in verse 20, "The prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods," that is not a problem among believers, "that prophet shall die." I want you to know that when we begin to touch on "thus says the Lord," we are dealing with a death penalty. Anyone who claims to hear from God and says, "thus says the Lord," is calling on themselves the spirit of death when it is not the Lord. That is why a lot of people do that ignorantly. And you can be ignorant of the laws of gravity and jump from a building and you still die. Ignorance is no protection. And some of them say, "thus says the Lord." And when it is not the Lord and they say it's the Lord, they bring upon themselves and their lives and their families a death penalty. We need to reverence God enough not to simply use "thus says the Lord." And secondly, as we look at what God says here in Deuteronomy chapter 18, it says in verse 22, "When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him." And actually, that also carries a death penalty. So number one, if a person says, "thus says the Lord," and the Lord did not say, a death penalty is in line for the person. Secondly, if someone says, "thus says the Lord," and it does not come to pass, the death penalty will also come on their life. I mean, most of the body of Christ is gracious. And they say, "oh, you know, never mind, like, he's still learning, he makes mistakes." But we need to understand the severeness of saying, "thus says the Lord," and it doesn't come to pass. That we are answerable to God, we are answerable to God's people, and I believe that any, even if they are prophets, any so-called prophets, or give a prophecy that functions and say, thus says the Lord, and number two takes place, it doesn't come to pass, and it is proven wrong, that person must give a public apology. Otherwise, people will be misled. It's a dangerous thing that people are handling God's name in vain. One of the Ten Commandments. Number three, that's in Deuteronomy 13. Now, that's not our message there. It's only the appetizer, right? These 3 points are just appetizers. We're going to teach on the 7 levels of the spirit of prophecy so that you will know when you can say that says a lot, when you should not. Right? We're going to teach on that area. So don't worry when you say, wow, that's heavy stuff. Right? Let's give the heavy stuff first and then give the lighter stuff. Deuteronomy chapter 13, the third point, we need to take note. In verse 1 onwards, if there arises among you a prophet or dreamer of dreams, and he gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder of which he spoke to you comes to pass, saying, let us go after other gods which you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of the prophets or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God is testing you to know whether you love the Lord with Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And incidentally, that also carries a death penalty. The third point is this. Even if someone says, thus says the Lord, and it comes to pass, and they do it because of themselves, to serve their own end. Here in Deuteronomy 13 is to lead people astray. It is also wrong. So there are three critical wrong areas here. Number one, saying thus says the Lord when the Lord did not say anything. Number two, predicting something and it doesn't come to pass. The opposite comes true. And I heard a lot of wrong prophecies that are given, predicting the wrong thing, it doesn't come to pass. Everyone be very nice, diplomatic, should be under the carpet. No, we demand that that prophet or the giver of prophecy give an apology and say, I was wrong. Because they use God's name in it. Otherwise, the death penalty will come upon their life. Nobody will put it to them. Nobody is going to shoot them. Then the body of Christ doesn't carry out all these things. But they are in danger of getting into more trouble. The third thing is very significant. Using a prophecy to control people. Using prophecies to dominate people's life and direct them to do the things, not what God wants to do, but what you want to do. Which is why it's very wrong for any minister or any pastor to prophesy for people to stay in their church. They are using Deuteronomy 13 to their own end. Although they didn't lead them away from God, they may lead people away from God's perfect will. It may not be God's will for the person to be where you want them to be. But you want to dominate their life through prophecy. I want you to know there is a death penalty involved. All these three areas show a disrespect of God and taking God's name in vain. Let that all descend. Let's be still in the awesomeness of what it means to reverence God and not to simply use His name. Now, sometimes when you teach like that, after that, nobody dares to prophesy. You can do it, but use your words carefully. I would assure you, by the time I say, thus says the Lord, I've examined it very thoroughly. But under normal circumstances, I would not simply say, thus says the Lord. And how do we go about? What principles can we have to hold to? Well, there are 7 levels of prophesying. There are 7 levels of prophesying. And we start at the lowest level. You would notice from 1 Corinthians chapter 14, although that is a New Testament, I'm going to show an Old Testament example. The first level, in verse 31, it says, for you shall all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and all may be encouraged. You may all prophesy. There is a level of learning or of prophesying. And this first level is what I call the level of perception. That's the one found in the book of Acts, chapter 27. Acts 27, where Paul said, I perceive in verse 10, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster. It is an inward intuition that they sense that something is going to happen. A sense. And as we grow in God, that sense is very great. You could sense what the people's future. You could sense the future of a business. You could sense the future of a place. There's an inward sense from the spirit of man. And in the New Testament, it's stronger because our spirits have been born again. But in the Old Testament, they have a sense of that through their through a part of their spirit that is not yet born again, the unredeemed part of them, called the intuition. In the Old Testament, let's look at the Old Testament example, so we know it's also true in the Old. 1 Samuel, in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 22. In this particular case, David was running away from King Saul. And as he ran, he came by the high priest and he asked for some food. The high priest gave him some food and he continued on his journey. Saul was in pursuit of him. And when Saul heard that the high priest had helped David, he was annoyed. He killed all the priests, those who wear a holy ephod. And news got to David about how all the priests have been killed by Saul. And David made this statement in 1 Samuel chapter 22. David said here, and when Abiathar came to him in verse 21 and 22, and Abiathar came, told David that Saul had killed a lost priest. So David said to Abiathar, I knew that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have caused the death of all the persons of your father's house. And David said, come with me, I will protect you. That's the first and lowest level. A perception of things to come. See, David was just looking around and he was taking break from the high priest. He saw this person called Doeg. Something in him knew this guy is a betrayer. He's going to cause trouble. See, we can pick that up in ourselves, because there is an area of the spirit man, the intuition, that knows. David knew it, but he didn't do anything about it, and it came to pass. Was it that says a lot? No. You never use that says a lot for that first level. You just know. You just sense. You could say, I perceive. You could say, I sense. Or I feel this is going to happen. But never use, that says a lot. That's the lowest level. And when you're mature enough in the law, or you spend enough time with God, the first level comes naturally. As long as you're in God's presence all the time, the first level is always easy. I know some people don't even have it, but I want you to know that when you spend enough time with God, that first level is always there. And you look at situation, you look at people, you have a perception of things to come. But that is not thus says the Lord at all. The second level, and as you consider the second level, it is what I call a parable level. Parable. The second level is where you begin to see visions, dreams, or God says something to you that needs interpretation. And the second level of the spirit of prophecy working is not for you to give to anyone yet. Because it's in parable form. Parable. It needs a lot of interpretation. It can also be misinterpreted. And most likely, when people do not have the spiritual level to deal with it, it is misinterpreted. And some forms of parable, well, let's look at the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel. Let's look at a hidden man called Nebuchadnezzar, first of all, and understand the background. Nebuchadnezzar was at the peak of his success. He had conquered all the known empires in his time. He ruled and reigned over kings. He was high and mighty. And one night, as he went back to his chamber, and as he was lying down to sleep, he was wondering, what is going to happen after me? What will come to pass after I am gone? So he's thinking about the future. And he's opening himself to that. And he had this dream of the statue. And understand that even that prophecy has not come to pass yet, because the 10 toes have not fully come up yet. He had this dream of the statue with a head of gold, and then silver, and then bronze, and then it comes down right to clay and iron. And so Daniel was called to interpret this dream in the book of Daniel, chapter 2. And in verse 29, he gave the background. He knew by a word of knowledge what was happening to the king. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. So God actually, through his mercy, revealed to Nebuchadnezzar the future. It came in a parable form. Daniel interpreted that prophecy, and Nebuchadnezzar completely misapplied it. In chapter 3 verse 1, he made an image of gold. I mean, here was a full-fledged, bona fide prophet, Daniel. Give him the correct interpretation, and his old Nebu still misapplying and build. Oh, good, I'm the head of gold. Let me build a golden statue. He misapplied the whole thing altogether. See, prophecies that are in the second category are usually very symbolic, and they need wisdom for interpretation and application. And there are very few that can really interpret properly. The best person, of course, is yourself as you seek God. We need to be careful about your interpretation of the second category of prophecy. Now here, in this case, nobody says, "Thus says the Lord." You don't say, "Thus says the Lord, I see your vision." Oh yeah. Now, the other categories may have visions too, but it's a different category. This category, number 2, is a parable type. You don't say, "Thus says the Lord, I see this vision, and I see this big crane came along, tuck, 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 tuck. And then there's a big fish coming along, tuck, 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 tuck. And the crane grew big, tuck, and ate a fish." Say, "Thus says the Lord, you know, you are the crane, and fishes are going to come." Amen. So, that's not to use "Thus says the Lord." If you have it in second degree, say, "I saw this vision." And if you don't have the interpretation, please don't try to interpret. Just say, "I saw this, and that's it." Now, God may not want you to even share it. If I have to share everything the Lord shows me, people will be frightened. If I have to say everything, all the visions that you share, God may be angry, because there are some things that God says you cannot share. You must not share. So where is this relationship with God? Many people use prophecy to gain authenticity and recognition. But that's not what it's for. Recognition or whatever you want comes from God as a gift. You don't use any of these gifts in order to have that attention. It's important to understand that at the second category, do not use "Thus says the Lord." Because your visions need to be checked, your dreams need to be checked, your prophecies need to be checked. And you cannot say, "The Lord told me this." Sometimes people got dreams about other people, and first it's a bad dream. Something happened to the person. And then in the course of the conversation, they hear something about this person and say, Yeah, I know this is going to happen. How do you know?" "The Lord told me. The Lord showed this to me in the dream." No. It was not the Lord told you. It's not the Lord said. It's only second category. You cannot use God's name yet. dangerous to do so. Now Daniel, as a believer in God, also has some of these visions in the second category. Like for example, chapter 7, Daniel has a vision. In fact, it's a dream. In verse 1, he says, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion, and had eagle's wings. I watched till his wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, and made to stand on 2 feet, like a man, and a man shall attain to it, and then there are all the other beasts, etc. Now Daniel has it in the second category. When he wrote this writing, he didn't write it for the public, he didn't write for anybody, he kept memoirs of it, so that at a future generation, people can make use of it. He did not go and announce to all his Jewish brethren that he had this vision. He did not say, that says a lot, this is going to happen at all. Second category is just for you to record. Sometimes you may be led to share, but you share it as a sharing and not as a that says the Lord. Notice the progression in the spirit of prophecy. After Daniel has had that vision and dream, in verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood by. Now here it says, Daniel himself was troubled, and then he came to one of those in possibly a different vision or another vision that he saw, and he asked for the interpretation. And when the interpretation came, it became a prophecy. It was a prophecy about nations. Notice there are degrees of the spirit of prophecy that a person can move into. And we're going to consider the third level now. And when you come to the third, we can begin to look at some of the prophets. Most people who are called to be prophets move past the level 1 and level 2 easily and jump straight to level 3. Level 1 and level 2 is a struggle for people who are not called to prophetic office, but for those who are already keen in that area, level 1 and 2 is normal. They could even have it before they're born again, sometimes after they're born again immediately, because the gift of God came without repentance. And let's look at the life of Elijah, right? That's some of these lives that we're going to consider in the book of 2 Kings. Third level, 2 Kings, chapter 8. First level is perception. Second level is parable. Third level is personal revelation. Personal revelation and perception is different. Personal revelation is the Lord show you something. It's different from number one. Number one is just, you sense it. You know it. Like David said, I knew when I saw Doeg that this was going to happen. If you trace in the long run, you can say it's the Lord. But it's not really in that sense. It's your spirit picks it up. Our spirits are capable of going to the past, the future, and the present. Now here is level 3. 2 Kings chapter 8. Elisha here was being asked a question by the king of Syria. And the king of Syria sent his commander-in-chief, or his main colonel or commander, in verse 9, called Hazael. So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and stood before him and said, your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, shall I recover from this disease? And Elisha said to him, go say to the man, you shall certainly recover. Now notice, if you study the prophets, sometimes they use that says the Lord. Sometimes they will just say, the Lord showed me this. Sometimes they say, go ahead. they know the different levels of the spirit of prophecy that they function in. And of course, when Haziel asked him about Ben-Hadad, he, being a prophet, he knew what was going to happen. And he says, go and say this to him, and you will recover. But he says, the Lord has shown me he will die. Now notice here, he says, the Lord has shown me. But he had no thus says the Lord for Ben-Hadad. Neither did he really have a thus says the Lord for Haziel, although he saw something. And then as he looked at Haziel, the countenance of the man of God changed. Elisha just started staring at. For some long, precious seconds, he just looked. And then he started crying because he saw something. But, God's but, she's but. However, he did not say, thus says the Lord. I want you to know, most people straight away start using thus says the Lord at level 3. Sorry, wrong level. Wrong floor to use thus says the Lord. Elisha, when he kept looking at him in verse 11, he set his countenance in a stare. He was having a vision. Level 2 is easy for him. And he was ashamed. And a man of God wept. And Haziel said, why is my Lord weeping? And he answered, because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire. Their young men you will kill with a sword. And you will dash their children and rip open their women with child. Hazel said, but what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing? And Elisha answered. Now listen carefully how he used the prophecy. The Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria. He did not say, thus says the Lord, you will become king over Syria. He just said, the Lord has shown me. It's a personal revelation. Sometimes the Lord shows you things that you're not really supposed to give. It's only in the course of conversation, perhaps 1-to-1 or 1-to-2, that it comes out from you. Otherwise, you do not give it up. If you have a word from the Lord at level 1, 2 and 3, don't give it in a public time of prophecy. Write it down. If you think it's something good, then submit it in. But level 1, 2 and 3 is not right for giving to the corporate body. You cannot come up and say, the Lord has shown me this, 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 this. You can't. It's still at level 3. Although the Lord showed you at level 3. I mean, the Lord shows me everything, every Sunday, every time we meet, every meeting I go, the Lord shows. But I never prophesy. Because that's not for prophesying. That's the Lord shows. I see visions all the time. I always see the Lord, I always see angels, but I don't keep announcing it. What the Lord shows is the Lord shows. Enjoy it. It's not for giving. I understand sometimes we're young believers, we see, oh, the vision of the Lord, the Lord was standing there. Hey, everybody, the Lord is standing there. Look, look, look. Everybody look and saw nothing. The Lord shows. Just enjoy it. I mean, the Lord gets embarrassed every time He shows you something and you say, look, 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 look. It's for you. It is His precious revelation personally for you. Some of the things that God showed Jesus were for Himself. Sometimes they come up from Him just a conversation. Like for example, when Peter says, when the Lord says, all of you will be scattered. Peter says, no Lord, not I, not I. And in conversation regarding that not I business, Jesus said, for you, this is going to happen. You, before the cock crowed twice, you deny me thrice. The Lord knew that all the time. He didn't say,
Thus says the Lord, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me thrice. So don't try to be nice.
Did the Lord say thus says the Lord? He said, oh, because he's the Lord, he don't have to say thus says the Lord. That's not the reason. It's because it's a personal revelation given to him. Understand that the things of the Spirit and the things of the kingdom need personal revelation. God has to keep showing me what is to come all the time. God has to show me as a leader what is happening in a meeting. He has to. But that's not for prophesying. And as an intercessor or someone who is a king and has a part in bringing about manifestation or your faith involved, God will show you some things too. That's not for thus says the Lord. That is just the Lord showed me. Sometimes in conversation you tell it out, but otherwise you don't. It's at the fourth level where it's different. Fourth level is corporate revelation. Then it is different. For that, let's look at the book of Samuel and show the progression in that. In 2 Samuel, let's look first at old King Saul being anointed. King Saul is only anointed in 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, chapter 8. Israel demands a king. That's the title of chapter 8. And then chapter 9, the selection of a king. Now, here is where personal revelation comes. God has spoken to Samuel. Now, he is a prophet. And in verse 15, now there was already a need, and the people wanted a king. Samuel said, alright, I'll wait on God and see what God says. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 15, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear, the day before Saul came, one day before Saul appeared, God spoke to Samuel. Now that was not for everybody, that just for him. Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry has come to me. And when Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, there he is, the man of whom I spoke to you, this one shall reign over my people. Now did Samuel quickly announce? Did Samuel tell everybody, here he is, look, he's a prophet, not a teenager. He knew how to bring it about. He may be excited in his spirit, but he's not going to behave like a small little boy. God told him, he said, alright. He didn't even bother to tell Saul what everything was about. He didn't even tell the man to whom God had shown him something yet. Just go to him and say, would you come and have lunch with me, or dinner, or whatever it was. I mean, here God shows him all this vision. God told him one day before that everything is going to happen, and show him the exact man. And he didn't say, thus says the Lord Saul, you shall be king. Saul, run away. Don't even attend a lunch. That's what happened to a lot of people. They receive it at level 3, and they start giving up, everyone runs away. They don't know how to handle level 3. The Lord showed. And he came very gently to Saul, and it says here in verse 19 and 20. He just told him a little bit, not much, but nothing about the kingship here. It says, go up before me to the high place. You shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all in your heart. Notice the timing. When is the Lord showed, you don't tell people until it's timing. Remember what God showed Joseph? And he blabbed it out. Wrong timing. See, but I got to confess it to Pa. Yes. You've got to confess to the right group and the right people. You have to know where to speak, where to keep silent. And Samuel said, well, join me for lunch today, or it was lunch time or dinner time or whatever. Join me for lunch today. And he did. And over lunch, he still didn't tell him anything. He said, tomorrow, after the next meal, maybe breakfast, I will tell you. He could keep it because the Lord showed him. Listen very carefully. When you operate at level 3 and you don't keep it, you never go to the other level. If you cannot learn to keep secrets, how can the Lord trust you with other things? See, does the Lord reveal secrets? Of course he does. You see, but secrets are for everybody. If it's for everybody, why is it that not everybody knows? Why is there such a thing as the secret things of the Lord? Revelation is progressive, and not everyone can handle all of revelation. We receive it progressively. There are secret things. I mean, some of us in fellowship with people, you know what it's like. If you fellowship with someone who is a blabber mouth, and everything you tell, they blab it to everybody, before long you don't trust the person with information. You're very careful what you say to the person, and then straight away your fellowship becomes reduced. You cannot be as close as you really want to. But the closer you want to be with somebody, the more the trust and the relationship must build up, that you know that what you tell that person, he knows when to say it, when not to say it, and what you tell him not to say anyone, he tells no one. Then you develop a relationship of trust and intimacy. How can God trust us with more things when everything he shows us we blab it out? There are some things that we must learn to hold till it's timing to speak forth. So here we have at the third level. Now Samuel is going to bring it to the fourth level, corporate revelation. And so he tells Saul all that is in his heart, and he prophesies to him and anoint him that he will be king. And only a small group of people know. Nobody up to chapter 9, nobody else knew, only a few besides Samuel. In chapter 10, verse 1, he took a flask and anointed him, and then he sent him on his way. But all this is level 3. Samuel wants to bring it to level 4 in verse 17, sometime later. Samuel called the people together to the Lord at Mizpah and said to the children of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel. Now he goes to level 4. It's only at level 4 when he's ready. He has prepared himself, he's prepared Saul, everything is prepared, and he comes for it. Thus says the Lord. Now, let's be very honest and frank. If we are going to do something that if you do wrongly, you have a death penalty, will you prepare? Of course. Of course. If we know that what we are going to do, and if it's a mistake, it carries with it a death penalty, we want to check and double check and examine ourselves. There is a preparation involved before the delivery. And Samuel has prepared himself. He prepared all the people. Then he goes to level 4. Level 4 is corporate revelation. That is for everybody to know. The time has come for everybody to know. And he says, thus says the Lord, I brought up Israel out of Egypt and delivered you from the hand of the Egyptian and from the hand of all kingdoms and from those who oppress you. But ye have today rejected your God, who himself saved you out of all your adversaries and your tribulations, and ye have said to him, no, but set a king over us. Now therefore present yourselves before the Lord by your tribes and by your clans, Now he still didn't tell them who the king was. He had a prophecy before the prophecy. Says, come, I will tell you something. Thus says the Lord, come. And everybody came. It took time to gather everybody. In those days, communication is not like today. And verse 20, Samuel caused all the tribes of Israel to come near the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin was chosen. And finally, when look for Saul, he was hiding in the end, they found him. And then he anointed him and set him apart. In verse 24, Samuel said to all the people, do you see him whom the Lord has chosen, that there is no one like him among all the people? He moved it up to corporate revelation, where he showed everybody that Saul was to be their king. There is a preparation involved. There are some areas like that all over. If you get these seven principles, you see it throughout the flow. You find that each prophet operates at different levels at different times. Even like, for example, in Acts 9, when Ananias was a faithful disciple and leader of the church in Damascus, received a vision from the Lord told him some things about Paul's life, the apostle Paul. But he didn't blare it to everybody. It was still at level 3. The Lord showed him. There's no record that he go to him and say, thus says the Lord. No. The Lord showed him some things even about Saul's future. And so thus says the Lord has to be used very carefully and with great preparation. Level 4, when it is a corporate revelation, when it's for everybody, then we say, thus says the Lord, and give it up. It is things that you have considered, you prayed, and you recognize the voice of God. Personally, before I use the thus says the Lord, I must always hear a voice of God that is loud enough until it sounds like it's on the outside. Then I know, and I dare to say, thus says the Lord. Otherwise, all the other things I just said the Lord showed, or I perceive, or I sense, I will never simply use that, says the Lord. And the Lord has at times given a prophecy. Sometimes He wakes me up in the morning and I hear a voice outside of me, talk to me. And says, son, get up. Get up. And the Lord says, these are the things that are going to happen. And sometimes He gives a personal prophecy and He names a person and says, to this person, this is what's going to happen. Why did the Lord give? Because sometimes I'm praying for that person. And then the Lord wakes me up and gives me that word and says, this is the word to give to the person. So I give to the person and say, this is the word of the Lord. It came from outside to me. Although, when we hear the Lord, sometimes it sounds like inside. Personally, it may be different for your life. But when the Lord says, when it's what the prophets all the time say, the word of the Lord comes. It can become in a vision, or it can come in a voice. But I hear it as a person and a voice talking. Sometimes I see the person talking to me as an angel of the Lord. Sometimes I only hear the voice and I don't see any person. It's only the word of the Lord that I hear. Like a voice calling me. Just like God called Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. He thought it was a voice outside. It is all those external voice. It is not audible in the natural, but it's audible to you. And it's external. And I know that is what the prophets call the word of the Lord. And I would say the word of the Lord has come and this is what the word of the Lord said. But when you don't have all those kinds of the word of the Lord, don't simply say, thus says the Lord. There's a death penalty involved. It's the high court of heaven who will determine that. And as we move past the fourth stage, the corporate revelation, we move to the fifth stage. The fifth stage. Fifth level. And let's have some example here. At 2 Kings 13. 2 Kings 13. And for the fifth stage to operate, it is what I call a prophetic mantle is like. The fourth stage may be a prophecy given personally or anywhere, and may not, although it's the revelation is for the corporate body, but the anointing and means by which come need not be a corporate anointing, but it definitely will be a prophetic anointing. Now there is a corporate anointing that is there, that is powerful, and that's where prophets, if they function or give a prophecy, come and you can prophesy to people one by one. But look at all the keys that are involved in that at level 5. In 2 Kings chapter 13, Elisha was about to die and go home. And verse 14, Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, take a bow and some arrows. So he took himself a bow and some arrows, and he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it, and Elisha put his hands on the king's hand, and he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance from, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed him." Verse 18. Then he said, "Take the arrow." So he took them. And he said to the king of Israel, "Strike the ground." And he struck 3 times and stopped. And a man of God was angry and said, "You should have struck 5 or 6 times. Then you would have struck Syria till you had destroyed it. But now you will strike Syria only 3 times. And Elisha died. And that was one of his final prophecies that he gave. What an interesting way that he gave it. It is deeper than level 4 because it's at level 5 and we call it cooperation. Cooperation. What is the level of cooperation? It is where the people are drawing on your anointing. And it draws on a prophetic mantle, and you could flow it, but it takes them and you. You alone, you may not give it forth. Them alone, they can't unless they have someone with a prophetic mantle. And they draw from that person prophetic mantle, and it takes a cooperation of both for the prophecy to come forth with a strong, "Thus says the Lord," and it comes to pass. Let me show you another example in the book of 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Here is the Shunammite woman. And Elisha used to stay with her. And Elisha wants to bless her because she has been such a blessing. And so Elisha asked to call upon her. In verse 12, he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Call this Shunammite woman." When he had called her, she stood before him, and he said to him, "Say now to her, 'Look, you have been concerned for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Do you want me to speak on your behalf to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I dwell among my people.'" And it looks like she doesn't need anything, but he wants to bless her. She has been so nice. She has taken care of him. She has prepared a prophet's room where he comes by and stays every time, taking care of all the needs. And he wants to bless her. Those who receive a prophet's reward. He wants to bless her. Gehazi, who was observant, said, "Actually, she has no son, and her husband is old." That's verse 14. And verse 15, he said, "Call her." Now he's going to bless her. She doesn't have a son, and she didn't need anything at first. And he says, "Call her." And she was called. And when she stood before him, verse 16, he said, "About this time next year, you shall embrace a son." And it came to pass. See, if it doesn't come to pass, then he should be stoned. It came to pass. There is a cooperation involved in that kind of a prophecy. It took Gehazi, it took the woman, it took Elisha. At the fifth level, there is an area where as you seek into God and as people look for it, like for example, if we all were together to pray for the nation, and let's say we consecrate 3 days of fasting and prayer, and we really seek God for the nation, And if you seek God's face to hear what God is saying on the nation and how revival is going to come, surely there will be prophecy. Finally, it's also because we give ourselves to the Lord and we put ourselves in the position to receive it. So there is a fifth level where we get down says a lot because we expect it, we want it, and there's a need for it. And we have paid the price, we prepared ourselves, and there was also a prophetic mantle in that place to give it forth. Then it comes forth. And we have a beautiful prophecy. And we know some things of what the Lord said. That's the fifth level that we flow with. The sixth is in 2 Kings 9. Just giving some examples. There are more than one example, but we just give one example and just show the principles of it. 2 Kings 9. Elisha, the prophet, called in verse 1, one of the sons of the prophets, and said, "Get yourself ready, take this flask of oil in your hand, go to Ramoth Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi. Go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee and do not delay." Number six is impartation. See, some prophecies are revelation. Some are not only just revelation, they impart something into the person's life to whom it is received. I'm sure you remember the New Testament passages where Paul says to Timothy to give heed to the prophecies that are spoken on your life. So those prophecies, the type that he received, are those that impart something into his life. That is also with "Thus says the Lord." Like for example, you say, "Thus says the Lord, the Lord has called you to the office of an evangelist." Shroom, and you impart. That's an impartation. Now don't tell me you don't need to prepare to do that. You have to. Any form of impartation needs preparation from the man of God and from those who are to receive it. You don't just simply, you know, anyhow do what you want and any time, any place. No. There is a certain preparation before that takes place. And sometimes what happens is, I know roughly what people's calls are on their life, but I don't prophesy of it in public. But sometimes when there's a heavy anointing, perhaps in a convention, and in a convention I speak usually on a national anointing, on an international level, and the prophecies that come forth are different. And so at that point, sometimes an anointing comes with an impartation, then I will call a person up and say, "This is the ministry God has on your life, and God has called you to this." Wham! And that's it. The anointing comes on their life for that. It's at the sixth level, and you can say that says a lot. There's a heavy impartation involved. And you choose the place and the time with cooperation from the Holy Spirit. Now, it is usually not at that time that I know. I may know it 2 years back. But it's 2 years later that I prophesy. As you can see, we operate at different levels in the spirit of prophecy and in prophesying. And we need to flow along. And the main concern is so that we don't take God's name in vain. We reach the stage and you know that you know that you know. And you heard from God. And God says to do that. And usually in a public meeting, many times it's just a Lord saying. And it's just loud and clear to my physical ears as it is to my spiritual ears. And you just flow along with God. There's a sixth level, and there is an impartation. Now the seventh level is quite a dangerous level too. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 7. There was a famine in Israel. Food was scarce, and it looks like the people are going to die out. And yet, they looked to God for something from God. Elisha was present. And so, they were asked to see Elisha. So when these messengers came to see Elisha, Elisha said in 2 Kings 7, verse 1, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord." See? Even Elisha don't simply say, "Thus says the Lord." He picks and chooses when. Other times he just said, "This will happen, that will happen, that's all." He doesn't say, "Thus says the Lord." But here he says, "Thus says the Lord." Now he is operating on a corporate revelation. Now as you see it, you know what level he has begun to function. The people have a need. So he's past level 4, which is corporate revelation. And then he has gone into level 5, where the people came for a word from the Lord. So his prophecy is at level 5. Thus says the Lord. And he declares something that will take place. Tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. Now, up to that point, it was at the 5th level. All still corporate revelation and move into the cooperation area. See where that says the Lord. And there was still a prophetic mantle on Elisha's life. And the officer who heard the word said, how can it be? He doubted and he said, look, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, could this thing be? He didn't know what he was playing with. I want to be balanced. On one hand, we need to be balanced and prevent people from using God's name in vain when it's not God's name they should use. They should use "I sense" or "I perceive" or "the Lord showed me." First 3 levels. And they should not simply go around saying, "That says the Lord, the Lord showed me this, that says the Lord," and incur death penalty on their lives. And they die needlessly or get into some disaster or trouble that later they say, "I don't know why this happened." It's because the court of heaven has declared it. And you break God's law. Disaster will happen and you don't know why. We need to prevent people from going into levels that they are not at and simply take God's name in vain and destroy people's lives. On the other side, we need to have people respect the prophecies that come forth. Yeah, that says a lot. When it's really that says a lot, you don't play around. So we are going to be very balanced. That also, if people do what we are teaching here and take seriously that it's really the Lord and you say that says a lot, then there will also be a reverence for the prophecy. We also take it without trying to argue or reason with it in ways that we should not. Then we have both sides. So on this side, if when a level reached the stage where it's really that says the Lord and you mock it and make fun of it, number 7 can take place. Number 7 is a declaration. See, what is a declaration? It is when a person moves into level 4, 5, and 6 and starts saying, "Thus says the Lord." You have to be very reverent. You don't say, "Ha, what kind of prophecy?" Immediately, you open your life for dangerous things. I know people who mock prophecies and they die needlessly. At the same time, we also know people who use God's name in vain. We are balanced here. There is a level where really it's the Lord and we mock it and make fun of it. Number 7 takes place, a declaration of judgment because we didn't accept "Thus says the Lord." See, when you really reach a point of "Thus says the Lord" and you don't accept it as "Thus says the Lord," you're in trouble. But when it's not the Lord saying, you say "Thus says the Lord," you're in trouble. But when he really says "Thus says the Lord," our very soul and body should tremble and don't fool around with God. And the declaration is this, that that officer shall see it but shall not receive it, the prophecy. In fact, he died. He died at that very moment the prophecy comes to pass. That's how dangerous it is to continue to mock or insult it when it does say the Lord. One more example on this area. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, and here it happened in a different way. God had already rejected Saul because of his disobedience. And verse 26, now this is not his first time. This is the unteenth time that he has disobeyed God. And Samuel said to Saul, 1 Samuel 15, verse 26, I will not return with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord. What word of the Lord has he rejected? Chapter 15, verse 2. Thus says the Lord of hosts. And God gave Saul something to do to the word of God. He didn't respect that says the Lord. He didn't respect how to obey that says the Lord. And he kept some of the fat of the thing. And you can see that when he said this is for the Lord, it's only an excuse. Look at verse 12. He built a monument for himself. See, he's not concerned about that says the Lord. He's not concerned about respecting God. He's only concerned about himself. And so Samuel said, God has rejected you. Because you didn't respect, you rejected the word that God said to your life. And then, instead of really repenting, he's like a half-hearted repentant. He said, oh, I'm sorry about it, in verse 24. And he said, but please, come with me, come with me. Show me respect so the people won't know I'm rejected. Samuel said, no. If he had been like Hezekiah and had turned his face to the wall and not to people, he still wanted Saul, Samuel to respect him. If instead he had turned to his face to the wall or to the floor or to the earth and wept and really been sorry about rejecting God's word, it may have been a different story. But he took it half-heartedly, partly sorry. He felt sorry, but he don't feel repentant. And as Samuel was walking away, I mean, Samuel is under the prophetic mantle and declared God's thing, and he's from level 4 to level 6. And as he walks off, Saul grabs Samuel's, whatever that was, clothing, robe, mantle, and he pulled it, and it tore. Level 7 came to pass. Instead of turning to God and repenting, he did something, and level 7, when the moment he tore the rope, another prophecy comes. See, when you play around with 4 to 6 and don't respect that says the Lord, level 7 can come, and the that says the Lord will destroy you. It's a judgment for not respecting a that says the Lord. And Samuel said, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And he walked off. But you can see that in verse 31, Samuel, in a natural human way, was still diplomatic, and Saul, in verse 11, sought to worship God. But it was all in vain. You have reached point 7, it's a point of no return. You can be diplomatic, can be all these things, but the word of the Lord comes forth. Level 7 is a dangerous area to play with. Now, level 7 will never come to pass when there is no rejection of the word of the Lord. But when there is, level 7 comes. Praise God. Let's go to God in prayer. Remember all the 7 flows. Number 1 is the perception. Number 2 is the parable. Number 3 is the Lord showed me. Number 4 is a corporate revelation. Oh no. Then number 5, we have seen a cooperation. Number 6, an impartation. Number 7, is declaration. Father God, we ask that you give us a reverence for your name. You have said in your word, thou shalt not take the name of thy God in vain. So that, Father, we will not simply say, thus says the Lord, when there is no word of the Lord. We won't simply say, the Lord told me this, the Lord told me that, the Lord showed me this, when it's not the Lord. And incur upon ourselves the wrath of God. And Father, teach us also to reverence that when it is really you who speak, thus says the Lord, whoever says it, Lord, we can come from a humble child or a veteran servant of God, that when it's really thus says the Lord, and help us and give us a reverence to respect what you say, so that we could be blessed by you, and so that we could progress into the fullness of what you want us to do. Father, seal in our lives, in our hearts today, a reverence for you, a reverence for your word, a reverence for the ministry of a prophet, a reverence for prophecies, and take it in balance, O God, and not to be deceived, not to be dominated, not to be controlled or suppressed by any other thing that is not of you. Establish us in your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us rise together. Sing that song, Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet. This is God's precious word. Spoken word and His living word are powerful. It builds our lives if we receive it correctly. Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet. Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet and a Light unto My Path. Thy Word is a Lamp unto My Feet and a Light unto My Path. When I feel afraid, think I lost my way, but still you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please, please believe me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. As we sing that again, perhaps if in your life you have been dominated by somebody, it could be a servant of God, it could be a brethren, it could be any group that tried to control your life until everything you do, you need them to prophesy. That's a spirit of domination. It's not the spirit of love and prophecy. Prophecy edifies, it is filled with love. Distinguish that and break free from that. And if you're under the domination of someone or some group or anywhere, we want to pray with you and set you free. And we want you to know that the word is your basis for the Christian life, not someone, not some group, not anyone. And you can judge a prophecy. And we're going to set you free from the fear of the judgment of what people are predicting over your life. Because I know sometimes all those things can steal the joy and the freedom from our lives. And you come, we'll pray for you, bless you, and nothing will come on your life. And the second area is, if you have made mistakes in some of those areas we have spoken about in prophecy, and you're filled with guilt and condemnation, maybe you destroyed someone's life or ignorantly, I'm going to pray for you that God will just set you free from that area. And from this day forward, let's move with reverence for God. Because the prophetic move is of God. Let's move with the word of God and establish ourselves on that area. And if you have any other need, we'll pray for you too right now. We thank you, Jesus. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. nothing will I fear, as long as you are near. Lift your hands up and surrender to God. Father God, oh Father God, oh Father God, your Holy Spirit of prophecy has been grieved many times by the ignorant, the unlearned, and the selfish. Oh Father God, we pray even for these lines that are represented here. For there is no condemnation, O Lord, to those who walk in the law of the Spirit of life. We pray for each one of these here, whatever area they have held their lines in bondage in a wrong way, or mistakes they have condemned them, O God. Oh Father, we know in this great move of your Holy Spirit, you are asking for purity and an awesome respect for you like we've never had before. Father, we pray that you place into our hearts and our lives reverence for you. And right now, Father God, we cut the bonds and the ropes and the bondages of man, and a word spoken over these lives here wrongly. In Jesus' name, we break every human hold of their lives. Father, we ask that the spirit of liberty come upon their lives, and that you cause an anointing to come upon their lives in a fresh way. And for those whom you have gifted, Lord, with a gift of prophecy and a ministry of a prophet, and you cause to come upon their lives a reverence for you, an understanding of the deep things of your spirit, that they will flow into the depth and height and the wisdom. We pray for wisdom to come upon these, Lord. Even right now, Father God, let your grace be upon their lives. Right now, O God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, it just is anointing and His Spirit coming fresh on your life to set you free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Fill them fresh with your Spirit in a new and living way. And let the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse them, spirits, souls, and body. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Amen. And amen. Seal it, Lord, into their life. Receive it now. It's on your life. A cleansing, renewing, refreshing, re-energizing power of His grace and mercy. God bless you. His grace and His blessings are on your life from this day forward. In Jesus' name. Thy word. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't leave without knowing Him. Come, and we want to pray for you even now. If you know that you've never known Jesus, you do not know this living God, and if you die right now, you're not sure what will happen in eternity, come to Jesus right now. Step right up, ask your friend to come into your front, to my left here. We'll pray with you. And if you have any other areas, we'll pray with you too. Thank you, Jesus. Close your eyes, lift up your hands to God right now. We're going to minister to your life. And others of you, pastors, ministers, those appointed to minister together, feel free to come and minister to this here right now. Feel your joint hands together right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name, we break every curse of barrenness of the womb right now. And we release right now in the name of Jesus fruitfulness of the womb. And they'll bear child, Lord, as they desire. We thank you for the blood covenant that we invoke right now upon their lives. May the blood of Jesus be applied upon the womb, upon their spirit, souls, and body. And they stand righteous in you, cleansed, O God, ready to receive your blessings, your covenant blessings. I command you, womb, to be fruitful. And I command fertility to come back upon this couple's life. In Jesus' name. There it goes. In Jesus' name.